No. Yeah, it's why I recommend. She does do amazing work, and so does Meron. And so, who's the new worker?
Yumrot.
Yeah. So if you can think about those guys and think about the work they're doing. I'm not going to use a PowerPoint because, you know, sometimes you can get a bit much of it sometimes. I used to do PowerPoint all the time with my work, so I've kind of just avoided it. I've chosen Consider the Lilies, and you've heard the talk, and you know the context of it. You know it's the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes and, you know, blessed are the meek and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just putting it in a context because I'm choosing just a very small part of it. And why I wanted to talk about it was because I wanted to talk about how I've interpreted it at different times in my life. And that there's things that you think in one time in your life that something means, and there's things that you think sometimes in another type of your life that it means. And so I just was going to reflect a bit that. I'm going to talk a bit about vicarious trauma or burnout as well. And I'm also going to talk just a little bit about mindfulness. So I kind of interpret it when I was young quite differently, because when I was young, I read people like Jean Vanier, Henry Nouwen, did a lot of stuff to do with Dorothy Day. And when I read that stuff, I thought, I have to do something. I have to help people, you know. So I was with a lot of friends who thought similarly. So we all decided to set up a cooperative. And some people put in money to buy a house, and the rest of us lived in the house with homeless young people for, I think, about 3 years of my life. It's something I probably would not do again. But when I was young, it was a good thing to do because I had passion and I had energy and I believed in what we were doing. And I also believed that it was really important to support people when they need help. And also because you're not just helping them, you're in a journey together in a community. So they're giving you stuff as well. So it's a two-way journey. And at that time, I thought Consider the Lilies meant you won't have any money, but God will look after you. And generally, yes, Michael's laughing, it's sometimes true. It's sometimes true. And I must admit, I was very well looked after in terms of that things just turned up. It was also good because in those days, if you went on the dole, they didn't ask too many questions. So you could actually, but I only did that for about a year. I actually studied and did stuff. But most of the time I was living in this house with people who were seriously homeless. And also we worked for Anglicare home sharers who used to sometimes tell us the truth about the people who were staying in our house and sometimes not. So they'd miss out things like this person punches holes in the walls all the time, or this person could possibly kill you, which is useful to know. You know, and so we sometimes didn't get all the information because we're quite a loose house, so we were a good house to place people with because we weren't too full on and we were young too, so these young people could live with us quite comfortably. But anyway, after 3 years of doing that, I thought, oh my gosh, I think I'm burnt out. and I was, you know, and I can tell you, I'll talk a bit about the symptoms of burnout later on, but just for you, what would you say burnout is to you? How do you know when you're burnt out? Has anybody else ever burnt out? Yeah, yeah. We're preaching to the converted here. So what's it like when you burn out? What happens to you?
When you stop reacting to what you're doing.
Yeah, so, and also you get a bit cynical as well, and you just go, oh yeah, this is just what happened. And you, yeah, what else happens when you burn out? Got no energy, so you're flat. Yeah, what else?
Angry.
So some people get really angry, yeah. Inward, or you just go, look, I can cope, shut up, just keep on working, just, you know, just like, what's that thing in Nemo? Just keep swimming, just keep swimming. You know, I watch Nemo a lot with Jeremy. Okay, so anything else? What else do you know about burnout? Anyway, and I also will, yeah. Yeah, you say to yourself, because you're so busy dealing with the stuff and you're going to yourself, oh my gosh, you know, I just don't get a chance to think about myself or care about myself. And, you know, while I was young, I thought that meant I have to contribute all this stuff. I have to give all this stuff. That's my duty as a Christian. But as I got a bit smarter and a bit older, I think I was about 24, and I said to my mum, look, you know, I'm really exhausted. And I was also in love with the wrong person, as you do. And hands up anybody who's fallen in love with the wrong person. We've all done that. And so my mum said, why don't you go travel around Australia? Because my mum's one of those people who'll say things like that. And I thought, yeah, I've got $1,000. I'll travel around Australia. And I bought one of those Olympic, you know, tickets that took, in those days you'd catch the bus around Australia quite cheaply. And I, everywhere I went, I landed with, and I wanted to see communities and how they were working. And I called it the Consider the Lilies Tour. And I thought, I'll just go out there. And everywhere I went, people would say, oh, do you want to stay with me? I stayed with some people for 4 months in Melbourne. A friend of mine said, come stay with me in Sydney. There was a community up in the West End in Brisbane, and I stayed with them for a while. And everywhere I went, people looked after me. And I also worked as a tea lady, which was really good, and I did all these other little jobs to keep my money flowing. But I got around Australia, and I had a big rest, and I saw how other communities worked. And I saw that they had similar issues. In that there's that first bit where you go, whoa, you know, we're going to change the world. And then there's the second bit where you go, oh, no, we're not. And I really hate the way that person never cleans the bathroom. And who's going to do the bloody shopping? And where's the shopping money? You know, and all that kind of stuff that, you know, and if you've been in a shared house, you kind of know that stuff too. So anyway, I kind of got back and instead of kind of thinking maybe I shouldn't go back into this community, I went back into it again. And I still think they were the best years of my life. I still think they gave me the experience to understand the work that I'm doing, because I've always worked as either a teacher or a therapist or a trainer or whatever. And I've kind of, I got my experience off that. So anyway, that's how I interpreted Consider the Lilies at that time. I thought that meant I just have to, you know, serve people and work hard, and it's not about me, it's about them. Now, then I went to work for Centrecare, and I worked again with homeless people. And when I talk about burnout, I talk about the fact that it's not just it happening to you, it's also that the fact that you're working with people and you take this stuff inside your head and you take this stuff inside your body. And does anybody know about mirror neurons at all? They're very interesting things. Yeah, I've got one hand up there. What you've got is that every time they did this experiment with monkeys, right? And they were actually doing something else, and they were looking at the brain and what it was doing. And they happened to have a break, and someone was picking up a raisin. And they noticed in the monkey's brain that he was picking up a raisin in his head. What we do all the time when other people are talking to us, what our mirror neurons do, is that they take on what other people are doing and do it as well inside us. So I used to wonder why at the end of a counselling day or the end of working with someone on something or helping people move or being in a domestic violence situation where I had to get someone out quickly, why I was exhausted at the end of the day, because I thought I'm not picking up any heavy things or I'm not, you know, but I would be totally exhausted. And it's because your body is kind of doing the stuff that you're working with people to do. And so that has an effect on your body. And also the adrenal glands, and everybody knows they're kind of near the kidneys, they get a bit knocked out from all this adrenaline rush all the time, from having to see scary things all the time. So what I learned from burning out a couple of times, because I've done it a couple of times, was that as well as seeking first the kingdom, I had to go back to that text again and kind of look at things a bit differently. Because it was about me looking at my workplaces as well, and you probably find that surprising, but it's not just about you when it's about burnout, it's about the organisation you work in. And if the organisation you work with, we're social people, right? We pick up all the stuff around us. Now, if I work in an organisation where they say, this is really impossible work you're doing, you'll need to take a break. And one of my supervisors actually said to me, take less clients on. Which is remarkable if you've ever worked in social services for someone to say, take less clients. They're usually saying, take more. But when you're in a good organisation, they'll say, have a rest, do this, don't take on this. That's a bit hard. And you get good supervision, and you get good support. But if you have a bad agency, they go, well, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. There's something wrong with you. There's not something wrong with us. And when you're working with really difficult people in really difficult environments, you need to have it acknowledged at your workplace, or acknowledged, even if you're a volunteer somewhere, acknowledge that what you're doing is quite difficult and sometimes it's impossible work. And I remember this guy called Toni Morrison, he's this legend social worker. He died really, really tragically a couple of years ago. But I admired him so much because he just stood up in front of a bunch of people and said, "You're all doing impossible work." And I thought, oh, that's okay then, I'm doing impossible work. So I'm not supposed to make it all better and fix it all. It's quite difficult to do. And that's not to say it's not rewarding, because I felt closest to God, particularly when I was working with refugees, you know, and when I was working with people, I felt like that was the centre of the universe. You know, that's where I felt like I really belonged, and I was in the centre of God, you know, with those people. So I'm not saying that I didn't want to do that work, I'm just saying that sometimes it was a bit impossible. So, it's kind of interesting and that we admit that sometimes it's hard work and that sometimes you can have a rest. And there's some people I don't give this talk to because they're not working anyway, you know. There's some people, and I also mean some people. It doesn't mean that you all have to go out and work with poor people or feed the hungry or visit the prisons. Some people do that work better than other people. Sometimes you've got to find your corner. And I think Jesus actually missed out a little bit in the Sermon on the Mount. Just personal theory on my thought is that I think he meant to say, blessed are the people who create beautiful things. Because, and I'll give you an example of this, because I think beauty and creating beauty and making beautiful things also heals the planet as well. And I knew this guy, his name was Robert Lentz, and he does these fantastic icons of people like Steve Biko and Dorothy Day and all the major social activists. And some of them aren't kind of official saints, but he makes them into these beautiful icons. He used to work as a Russian Orthodox monk. And when he worked as a Russian Orthodox monk, he painted these really sad Byzantine icons. And there's a tradition to that, and I'm not criticising that, but he found that he was getting more and more depressed. He could also see that all these things he wanted to change in the world. So he thought, I'll stop being a monk. And he called back all his paintings that he had painted and destroyed them, because he didn't want to paint those ones anymore. And anyway, he thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to be a social activist. So he went out and worked in soup kitchens and went on marches and did all this extra stuff. And he got burnt out and he got exhausted. And what he had to do was go back and do his painting again. And he painted these beautiful icons, which make people think about the people who he's painted, because the tradition of the icon is that the presence of the person is in the icon, and got people to think about social justice through his paintings, you know. So he said, I stopped working in soup kitchens and I stopped going on marches because my particular thing was to paint and was to make things, and that healed him. And he would actually spend half a day, obviously he was a single person, but he used to spend half a day painting and half a day meditating. And that's the way he served God in his particular way. So I think when we're talking about considering the lilies, and that we neither toil nor spin, that they're just beautiful and they're just there, is part of the message too. That sometimes it's just to be with beauty and to not worry about what's happening in the past or not worry about what's happening in the future. I also thought about kind of consider the lilies, and that's where I started to look at it in a different context, thinking that it's not just about having to work hard and that God will provide everything, but also if I did nothing, God would still provide something, because that's the other message of consider the lilies. Does that make sense to you too? That while we should be serving God and we should be doing things, and I hate shoulds, that's not a good word, we should choose to perhaps, or we choose to. It's really about not choosing that stuff sometimes and having a little rest and sitting still. But I'm just going to say something else, because I recognise that I've just talked about trauma, and if you want to do more stuff on vicarious trauma, there's two people called Zach Bitney and Perlman who do really great, interesting research on it, and I'm not going to go into it in a great deal, but I just thought I might say, if you get into the stage where you are burnt out or you are exhausted or things are getting too hard, these are some of the things you can do, because these are some of the things I've learnt. Get a plan of help before you need it. Don't wait until the point where you're burnt out. If you're going to go serve people or work or volunteer or do stuff, figure out beforehand who you're going to talk to, who's going to help you. You know, get someone who you can, and stress management stuff. Also, allow yourself to be upset or angry or frustrated. It might not be with the people that you are serving, but sometimes you need to get angry somewhere else. You need to be able to ring up someone and say, God, you know, that was really awful. Also, when you find work too upsetting, give yourself permission to reduce your work. And I've actually given up my work recently because I'd had 5 years about talking about sexual health and doing stuff in an interesting organisation, and I thought, I need a rest from this, which was kind of a radical thing to do. But I do that from time to time. And then I go back to whatever it is I'm going to serve. And yeah, the Protestant work ethic sometimes rules us a bit too much, I think. And sometimes we have to, yeah. I'm Catholic and it rules me. But you know, sometimes you gotta take a break, and it's okay. And you know, there's so many other people out there who are keen to do stuff. You know, every time I've left something, someone else has done my job. Someone else has filled that gap. You know, there's plenty of keen people to do stuff, and we can all do it together. It doesn't have to be just me alone or you alone saving the world. And get others involved to share your load. And think of other ways that you can offer support to other people in your workplace too, because if you're feeling a bit burnt out, it's likely they are. And people all back each other up in communities and look after each other and sit and have cups of tea. And give yourself the choice, and I always laugh at this one, because if you've got kids and you've got things going on, give yourself the choice to whether to accept a task or not accept a task. You might be able to negotiate, but it's funny in workplaces, when they see that you're tired, or in communities where they see you're tired, they will help you and they will support you if you ask for that support. Often we're a bit tough and we don't ask for that support, but it's there. Also, look at other stresses in your life and try to reduce them. You know, if people have got aging parents or kids or what, sometimes they can't do that. But sometimes it's your trying to make things perfect. And sometimes you can do things less than perfect. Or you can tell people, I'm not going to do that because I need a break. Eat a well-balanced diet. Good luck with that one. But we're growing a garden, so we've just, you know, got some beetroots last night that we grew, and I think it's really good sometimes to do some of that stuff and be involved in that. Get enough sleep, make time to relax, and I'll talk a bit about that in a minute, and have a life, because sometimes you get so caught up in helping people and doing stuff and being involved with things, you forget to do the things that make you happy and the things that you love. And like Robert Lentz, sometimes you do the thing you love and that feeds you and that heals you and that heals other people. And it's about God saying, maybe if you just consider the lilies, perhaps if you just sit still for a moment, I can help you with this, you know. Also, have social supports. And you need to teach your social supports if you're involved in stuff. And, you know, even if you're busy and stuff. Because sometimes you have to say to your friends, no, I can't hear about your marriage breakup tonight. I've heard 10 stories today and you are the 11th and I'm really sorry. Call me in 2 weeks. And that's okay, you know. And also educating the people. I'm lucky because I've got Luke and he's a social worker and he used to understand the things I... But sometimes you don't have a partner who understands or you don't have a friend. But you've got to teach them. This work weighs on me like bricks. And I, at the end of the day, I need a rest sometimes. And also talk to other people who are doing the same sort of work, because then you get a kind of bit of collegial stuff going. And certainly in communities, if you're talking to each other, you can't go wrong. Now, the last bit about my consider the lilies that I want to talk about is, has that been clear so far, where I'm going? Is that where I've got to it now is I look at the bit where it goes, do not worry about your life, you know, and also that even that these lilies just grow and they're beautiful. And they don't have to do anything, and they don't think about the past, and they don't think about the future. They're just here right now. And that leads me to mindfulness and to contemplation. Because also when I was young, one of the things I did probably the second time I burnt out was I went to the Centre of Action Contemplation, where Richard Rohr is. And what I learnt from that was that you can act, but you can also be still as well. And you have to be still and come from a still place to serve in whichever way you serve. If you're looking after your kids, if you're studying, if you're working in a job, no matter what you do, if you don't have that still place to come to and feed you, it's very hard for you to go out and do what you need to do for all the other people in your life. And I always remember I used to work for this group, and it was kind of a TAFE group in the 90s, I think it was. And it was teaching assertiveness training to women who, you know, basically were stuck at home and really wanted to get out. It was called, the WOW course or something. Yeah. And I used to teach these women, and they'd all say, but I've got to look after my kids, and I've got to pick the towels off the floor, and I've got to clean. And I understand that. I really understand that. I pick up a lot of towels. But I used to say to them, if you don't look after you, you can't look after them. And that's the hard thing. And some of them told their husbands they were going to sewing class because they didn't want to admit that they were going to something for themselves and looking after themselves. And I know guys don't look after themselves too. So it's about looking after yourself. Now, mindfulness. What do you think mindfulness means? When I say mindfulness or I talk about contemplation, what am I talking about? Sorry? Metacognition. Well said. What else?
Noticing your thoughts and feelings
and your body. So being right here in your body, right now, in your breathing in, breathing out, and seeing what's going on in your body while that's happening. And that's really considering the lilies and staying in the moment. And I'm not saying that's easy, because as soon as you sit down and start breathing, what happens? What happens when you start to be still? Your brain goes, blah, 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 what are we having for dinner? What's happening? Blah, blah, blah. And you have to go, boats on the river, floating by, see you later, don't care what's for dinner, don't care what's happening, I'm here, I'm right here in this place. And that feeds what else is in your life. And again, that's another talk. I could give another talk on mindfulness and all the tricks that people learn to help themselves be mindful and all the religious traditions of contemplation. But what I guess I wanted to say is when I started in my life, I thought it meant give up everything, work really hard, and God will look after you. And now I think it means sit still, shut up, listen to God, and whether you do a lot or you do a little, it'll be okay. This may not be the direct translation from the Hebrew or the Aramaic, but it is my experience and it's the way it spoke to me. So I just thought that's what I wanted to say today. And it's not a very long talk, but I hope it... And if you've got any questions, please ask me. Thank you. So is there anything anybody wanted to... And it's not the same.
I think it translates to not be anxious about. And that works better for me. Because you say to someone, don't worry about the towels. I mean, you've got to pick up the towels. If you don't be anxious about the towels, you can still pick up the towels.
Or not.
Because I think to hear that kind of word, but still.
Yeah. And sometimes you might still be anxious, and that's okay. You feel it in your body, you go, yeah, my body's anxious. And that, we'll just sit with that for a minute, you know, as well. You know, you can be anxious. It's okay to be worried and anxious, but let's just see if we can get our bodies calm and relaxed past that point. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Isn't he a picture of talking to people who were hungry and persecuted? So he's actually talking to them very personally. He was talking to them in their niche. And the people who weren't hungry or who weren't persecuted, either weren't there at all, or he wasn't talking to them. So, and I imagine there probably weren't people who were doing other things that he didn't mention right there and then. So it was very much talking to people in their space where they were at the moment, and effectively saying the same thing. You're hungry, but God will look after you. You are persecuted, but come to another else.
And even
that
the...
seems a very helpful way to read the Beatitudes, rather than everybody has to be hungry, and therefore God is dead, and everybody has to be persecuted,
yeah,
and therefore God is protected.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything they wanted to say?
Just one word that came to me while you were talking. I just sat there, so I thought I'd say, is the word mystery? Because when I consider my orange tree or lilies or anything, I'm considering the mystery of what's happening in the dark place underneath where all the roots are. And it's that sense of being able to see beauty without having to understand it.
Yeah. I always think that Madonna song, Life is a Mystery, Everything Stands Alone. Every time someone says that, I hear that like a prayer song. I don't know if that's good or bad. Anything else? Anyway, I just thought I'd leave that with you, and that's my reflection today. Thank you.
I just love hearing that story. Thank you for the journey of your engagement with the same passage. It's very special.
Thank you.